It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is finally here, and with that, it means a whole bunch of action across the sports landscape. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. You can follow the show on Twitter at VSiN Live. We're talking NFL on Sunday. We're talking NBA tonight, NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow, and of course, baseball. And don't forget, UFC. We'll bring on Lou Finocchiaro in just a few minutes to go over UFC, hockey, and the NFL. And then we'll talk some more NFC North, specifically with Mike Pritchard, host of Betting Across America here on VSiN and former NFL wide receiver. So I'll get into that a little bit later. But let me get you geared up with the pregame rush, and let's get you ready for some of these baseball games about to get underway in just a couple minutes. And let's start with the Pirates and the Cardinals. Now, this game's still going on. The last I saw, it looks like the Cardinals are up 6-5. They have two outs in the bottom of the seventh, so they're looking to get the win against the Pirates here. So in game two, though, the pitchers that are going to be taking the bump, Chad Kuhl for Pittsburgh. He's 1-2 this year with a 5.50 ERA and a whip of 1.49. Opposing him is Daniel Ponce de Leon. He's 0-3 this season with a 6.23 ERA and a high whip of 1.62, not what you're used to seeing from De Leon throughout the course of the season. Last year, he had a pretty solid season, but we haven't seen him pick it up yet. As we look at these odds tonight, the Cardinals laying minus 167, the Pirates plus 143. Remember, it is a doubleheader, so the total is lower. It sits at 7. The overs minus 106 at Bet Rivers, and the under minus 113. All right, how about the White Sox? They got a win after they lost to the Twins the other night. They picked it up and beat Minnesota last night 4-3. They'll be playing in Cincinnati tonight. This one opened about a pick 'em both ways between the two. The total's at 9 in this spot. It stayed steady in that direction, shaded a tad bit to the over, minus 122. The under 9 is plus 104. The action has actually been going to Cincinnati. Minus 129 currently is where it stands on the money line, plus 112 on the buyback for Chicago. The Reds beat and they swept the Pirates on Wednesday 1-0. And so you get Jonathan Stiver on the mound for the White Sox, an unfamiliar face. He's only had 3.2 innings pitched. With those stats, we'll still throw him out, even though you don't really want to take those too much into account. Remember, he's got a 2.45 ERA, a whip of 1.09, and opposing him is Teha Antone. For the Reds, 0-2 this season, a 2.76 ERA and a whip of 1.09. Stiver did allow a run and two hits while striking out three and walking two over three and two-thirds innings pitch. That was a 5-2 victory over Detroit in his major league debut, which was on Sunday. So that's kind of why a lot of the action's been going to Cincinnati, a new pitcher for this White Sox team. The Reds have been picking it up as of late offensively, needing to click, getting close to the postseason. And like we said, as we see him on the money line, minus 129, the action's been going the way of Cincinnati. The White Sox plus 112, if you want to go with the hot bats. They finally clinched the postseason. Will they ride that momentum? If you think so, some good plus value with the Sox, plus 112. All right, how about the Indians and Tigers going off at about 6:10 p.m. Central Time? The Indians a big favorite tonight, minus 235. The Tigers plus 188 on the buyback. The total we see at 8.5 in this spot. Zach Plesac taking the mound for Cleveland, 3-2 this season with a 2.20 ERA and a nice whip of 0.78. Fulmer's opposing him for Detroit. He's 0-2 this season with a 9.27 ERA and a whip of 2.15. So the Tigers, they've had their struggles. They got on a decent hot streak, but now they're kind of falling back to the Detroit we're used to seeing as of late. And that's why they're a big dog, plus 188. The Indians, minus 235. And let's take a look at the Braves and Mets. The Braves are favored in this spot, minus 159. The Mets on the other side, plus 138. We saw Atlanta open up at minus 175. So attention has gone a little bit toward the Mets, who opened up at plus 160. The total opened up at 9. That's dropped down to 8. The over's minus 118. The under is minus 103. Some pitchers finally getting back in the mix. Southpaw Max Fried, he's 6-0 this season with a 1.98 ERA and a whip of 1.06. He's coming back off the injured list and opposing Fried, another Southpaw, Steve Matz. He's 0-4 this season with a high ERA of 8.63 and a whip of 1.50. He hasn't pitched since August 29th. And as we look at those odds, once again, the Braves a big favorite, minus 159. And the Mets on the other side, plus 138 in the total at 8. Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, getting you geared up for some Friday night action and the whole weekend action. And we'll talk UFC with Lou Finocchiaro. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk the Stanley Cup Finals and a little bit of baseball later on in the show. Tonight's NBA postseason action as well. But let's go ahead and bring in our friend Lou Finocchiaro. Point Spread Weekly contributor at GambLou is where you could follow him on Twitter. Did a spectacular job last week covering UFC and the NFL. So good we brought him back on once again. Lou, thanks for taking some time tonight, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Danny. I appreciate you bringing me back on. I lived in Chicago in the early 80s. I got a lot of friends and family there, and I'm happy to share some insight with you this afternoon.
Of course. Well, let's get right into it, Lou, because we got a big slate we want to dive into with you. And let's start with hockey. Now, the Lightning and the Stars, maybe two teams, or at least maybe more so the Stars that a lot of people didn't envision making it this far. They've been a good dog to bet on throughout this postseason. I know you've been profiting off them tremendously. As we see game one and how it lines up, the Stars are catching plus 135 on the money line. The Lightning laying minus 159. Once again, that total resting at about five. The unders minus 112, the over minus 107. And to win the cup, meaning to win the series, we see the Lightning minus 182. Dallas is plus 160 to win the Stanley Cup. Do you like anything with the series prices or in game one as of this point?
Yes, I do. Listen to me, Danny. Tampa Bay is going to have to show me that they can finish this thing out. They've been to cup finals before. They've been to Eastern Conference finals before. They always manage to somehow not get it done. So they're going to have to show me that they can. And in this Dallas team, they have a team, they face a team with an extremely hot goaltender, extremely stout defense, and on occasion they can score. That's the recipe for a solid Stanley Cup competitor. Tampa has those same traits. Tampa's deeper, maybe a little more talented, but I like how Dallas is entering. I like the fact that they're a big underdog, and I handicapped this series much closer to Tampa Bay being minus 140 to plus 120 for Dallas. So in the series, I'm absolutely on Dallas, and in game one, I will be as well. Many times, people, common sense tells you the team that's had all the rest off, they're going to come in and have the better legs in game one. And I find it to be exactly opposite of that, to be quite honest. It's a team that's been used to the frenetic play that has their legs, and that's going to be Dallas after 3-4 days off, whereas Tampa's had almost a week. So I like Dallas in game one. I like Dallas in the series.
Okay, so Lou going with the underdog per usual when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs, looking for the Stars for game one and throughout the whole series. All right, let's go to the ring where you're very familiar in handicapping. Let's take a look at UFC Fight Night for Saturday night. Let's just pick out a few fights here that I know you've circled out handicapping-wise. And let's start with the bantamweight bout between Jurny Newsome, and he's about minus 137 where we're seeing here at Bet Rivers. Opposing him is Randy Costa. He's plus 110 as the dog. As we look at the total rounds prop, it's at 1.5. The over, the favorite, minus 134. The under 1.5, even money, Lou.
Yeah, Newsome has the benefit of having a UFC fight or two and against strong competition. He's a sawed-off shotgun, fire hydrant, short, stocky power fighter, but more well-rounded than his opponent, Costa, who's 22 years old, long, lanky, but very, very dangerous and very aggressive. In Costa's aggression, despite his advantages in size and length and reach, he's very, very wild. I think Newsome, provided he can weather the first round of this fight, will have advantage in the second and third round. And for that reason, I will take the slight favorite here, Jurny Newsome.
All right, Lou's on Jurny Newsome, currently at Bet Rivers. Newsome is minus 137 as we see. How about Ryan Spann and Johnny Walker, the light heavyweight bout? We see Spann is a slight dog in this spot. Even money currently at Bet Rivers, minus 1.25 for Johnny Walker. Once again, the total rounds prop at 1.5, Lou, minus 115 each way.
Yeah, these next few fights we're going to talk about are all men that are 170 pounds or higher, and they're fighting in the UFC Apex smaller 25-foot cage. Next week when we go to Fight Island, it'll be a 30-foot cage, and that makes a difference, especially with this fight, a couple of 205-pound guys that are going to end up in the next year or so. They're both going to be top 10 fighters. This is a dynamic fight where Spahn may be a little slower and a little more deliberate, but tough and very aggressive, is going to be going against Johnny Walker, the Brazilian, who's flashier, more athletic, faster. But Walker doesn't do well against guys that really hunt him down and back him up. And Spahn has a more developed wrestling Brazilian jiu-jitsu pedigree. And because he's more well-rounded, I do believe this fight could hit the floor with Spahn on top. And I like Spahn, Ryan Spahn, minus 110 in this fight against Johnny Walker.
All right, let's move on to the middleweight bout. Khamzat Chimaev, he is a big favorite against Gerald Meerschaert. And minus $4 currently for Chimaev, plus 300 on the other side for Meerschaert. We see the total at 1.5, the over minus 106, the under a slight favorite at minus 125. You like a couple angles in this bout, Luke.
Yes. I firmly believe that Meerschaert, the natural 185-pound fighter that's had 40-some UFC fights, is in a very good position in this fight simply because he's had a number of fights. He's a natural 185-er. He's fighting a guy that's had two UFC fights. His first fight, Chimaev's, at 185, he beat a journeyman, and it was impressive fashion. His second fight, he moved down to his natural weight class, 170, to fight a kid on short notice that's a 155-er. He's totally untested. However, he's quick, he's dynamic, he's got a great wrestling game. He fits the bill of a strong up-and-comer, but in this fight, he's going to run into a guy that's highly motivated in Meerschaert, a bigger man, and one that has specialties similar to his. And I'm going to put a small taste on Meerschaert at the +3, whatever he is. He's a big underdog. I'm going to take a small position on him. But more importantly, I think the position here is over 1.5. Chimaev may well win this fight, but it's going to take him all 2.5, 3 rounds, maybe even into decision, to get it done against this kind of a pedigreed UFC fighter, in my opinion.
All right, and then the main event, we have Kobe Covington versus Tyron Woodley. Covington, the big favorite, minus 360, plus 275 on the buyback for Woodley. How are you assessing this one, Lou?
Yeah, I happen to believe differently than a lot of very strong UFC experts do. They see this as a decision kind of a fight based on the fact that Woodley's looked lethargic, but he's been tough and weathering in going 5 rounds against both Usman and Gil Burns in his last 2 fights. I'm of the opinion that 38-year-old Woodley is washed. He's tired. He can't get off anymore. I think he's going to extreme measures to try and motivate himself for this fight. If you watch some of the press and the hats and shirts he's wearing, I think is all artificial. And I think Covington is too tall, too young, too much wrestling base, too much cardio. And I think the unusual tell in this fight is that Covington has been completely silent through the buildup of this fight. I think that's because he's focused and he's looking to finish Woodley. And I think Woodley's going to try and come out and give Covington a fight. It's going to leave him short on gas tank. And I look for Covington inside the distance on this fight. And that's a hard prop to find. But if you can find it, it's plus 300 or better. And it's also very, very minority opinion. Most people think Covington wins via decision. But I really like this angle. I think Covington's going to finish Tyron Woodley.
All right, to recap, Lou's best bets for UFC Fight Night in the bantamweight bout, he likes Jurnee Newsome minus 135 versus Randy Costa. Then in the light heavyweight bout, Ryan Spann plus 110 versus Johnny Walker. Then we move on to the middleweight bout for a half unit, Gerald Meerschaert versus Kasmat Chimaev, a half unit on Meerschaert plus 340. And then he really likes the over 1.5 rounds plus 105 in that same bout. And then finally in the main event, the welterweight bout, Colby Covington in the distance plus 320 versus Tyron Woodley. All right, Lou, let's move on to the NFL for this week. I know you have some best bets on the gridiron as well, and let's get to those before we run out of time. Let's start with the Vikings and the Colts. Both teams really had a disappointing week one. This one opened up with Minnesota as about a, Minnesota was catching about 2.5. The total was at 46. This one's bumped up a tad to 3 with Indianapolis laying it. We're seeing 90% of the bets on the Vikings spread here and displays at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, which is accounting for about 84% of the handle. Which direction do you lean in this matchup, Lou?
I don't necessarily see a side in this fight, in this football game, Danny. however, I see a couple of teams, Minnesota, a team that totally redid their defensive backfield, and they're a work in progress. And they supplement that poor defensive backfield with little chemistry with a very, very inept off defensive line. So not only can they not rush, they can't cover, and that's a bad recipe. Meanwhile, on the Colts side, they have injuries on their own, a defensive end, a defensive tackle, a safety that didn't practice here today. And it's Friday, so this is an important day for practice. What I'm trying to say in a long-winded fashion is that I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in this game. Minnesota's got a capable offense, and Indianapolis is going to have a hard time covering them if they had a hard time covering Minshew and his crowd. And I also think Minnesota has really a very, very young, developing defense that isn't there yet. And Rivers and his crew is going to score some points on him. So I go over the 40. I had it 48 earlier in the week. I see it soaring upward. It's now 49 on the graphics that we're seeing. I still think at 49, it's an overplay.
Yeah, currently at Bet Rivers, the total is at 49. 81% of the bets are on the over, which is accounting for 96% of the handle in regards to the total between the Vikings and the Colts. All right, let's move on to the Ravens and the Texans, Lou. 90% of the bets on the Ravens spread, accounting for 94% of the handle. The Ravens laying about a touchdown in most spots. A higher total in this one as well. Although it kind of dropped down, it was at 53.5. Now it's at 50 at Bet Rivers. The Ravens are actually laying 7 in the hook. How are you looking to bet this one?
I'm looking at Houston 6 ways to Sunday, and it's not to take anything away from Baltimore or their capability. The look-ahead line on this game last week was 5.5. Now it's 7, and by kick it's going to be 7.5. Houston didn't look good on Thursday night football, but while they didn't look good, they've had 10 days to prepare for a Baltimore team that's coming in and doing the traveling in COVID on just a week's rest. So Houston's got rest. I like the fact that that everyone is on Baltimore and not giving Houston any chance. I also like the fact that last year these two played in Baltimore and Baltimore beat them 41-7. All those reasons really make me feel that Houston's going to come out a much improved team. All teams improve so much between week one and week two. I just think Houston's in a great position with all those points. At 6 or 5, no, but giving me the full touchdown and an extra point, I'm all about Houston.
Lou Fittacaro joining us here on Rush Hour as we look over the NFL Week 2 slate and some of Lou's best bets. All right, Lou, we got a couple minutes left, so let's be sure to knock these last two out. With the Patriots and the Seahawks, this one in Seattle, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick catching 4 on Sunday.
Yeah, and I to me, this is a simple one. In my power ratings, I have Seattle 1.5 over New England. I know New England has to travel, but they're giving Seattle a 3.5 3-point home field advantage when I don't really believe there's going to be one there, and it's against Belichick. So I'm going to take the value in the Patriots. This look ahead line was Seattle -3.5. I'll take that extra half point with the Patriots and understand that Seattle as a favorite at home plays tight games. They want to run the ball down your throat and play ball control. And the Patriot defensive backfield happens to be one of the top defensive backfields in football. So I look for a tight, conservative game.
All right, and then finally, how about Monday Night Football? New Orleans and the Raiders. Michael Thomas seems like he keeps going back and forth on his status with that high ankle sprain, so we'll have to keep that monitored. We see the Saints currently laying 5.5 with the total at 49.5, Lou.
Yeah, they're going to be opening the new stadium. There's going to be a lot of vibe in Vegas. I'm so disappointed that fans can't go there, but it's not going to quell what happens in the city of Vegas and right after everything with the Knights. The vibe will be good. Right now, the Raider injury report looks terrible, but it's only really Thursday for them because they play Monday, so I wouldn't get alarmed with that. Michael Thomas is going to miss that game. It's going to affect New Orleans to some degree. And I look for the Raiders to play great football and find a way to cover that 5.5 points.
All right. There he is, the man himself, Lou Finicaro at Gamblu is where you can follow him on Twitter. Catch his fantastic content, VSiN.com/subscribe in Point Spread Weekly. Lou, as always, appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. I sure appreciate it, Danny. Good luck, everyone.
You bet. You as well. And just to recap some of Lou's NFL picks, he likes the over between the Vikings and the Colts. Ravens and Texans likes the Texans catching the touchdown. At Bet Rivers, you actually get 7.5 if you want to take Houston in that spot. And then with the Patriots and Seahawks, we see this line at 4. Lou is back in the dogs with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick catching 4. And then the Saints and Raiders, he likes taking the points with the Raiders. A lot of momentum with the new stadium in Sin City. All right, coming back, we'll do a little bit more NFL talk. The Bet Rivers Weekly Pick'em Contest will recap last week and look forward to this week and much more coming up next here on Rush Hour. It's a weekend full of free bets at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is giving back on all your pro football bets. For every $50 bet on the NFL games this weekend, Bet Rivers will give you $5 in free bets to use on the Sunday night matchup. You can earn a maximum of $25 in free bets, plus you can get a 50% profit boost on Sunday just for showing up. Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook with fast payout approvals and superb customer service. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Well, speaking of the NFL, first of all, welcome back. It is Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network, broadcasting live per usual at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook just outside of Chicago in Des Plaines, Illinois, with the crowd getting ready for tonight's action in the NBA, MLB, a little bit of college football as well. We're getting you ready for all of that, plus UFC. We talked with Lou last segment in the NFL on Sunday and some Stanley Cup Finals talk with Mr. Finicaro as well. So what we did last week, because the Bet Rivers has a weekly pick'em contest, Doug Greenberg, my producer, we went head-to-head with just a straight-up picks. I tried to get a little bit too cute and too fancy, and long story short, Doug smoked me. So we're going to recap last week and just look at our differences for this week really quick. Last week, I only got 7. Mr. Greenberg over here, Mr. Hotshot, he got 11 picks right. So really the differences that we had in week one, Doug picked the Packers over the Vikings. I did not. He had Washington over the Eagles. How about that? I was giving him a little bit of crap for that. But look, the Washington football team got the dub, and so did Doug. The Bears beat the Lions. I would argue that I probably should have won that one, but nevertheless, Doug gets the win with that one. He had the Seahawks over the Falcons. I tried to get cute, play the Falcons, think that they would play well at home in week one. The Steelers over the Giants and the Broncos over the Titans is what I had at, or no, that's what he had. So I had the Titans, he picked the Broncos. So that's where I edged him out in that one. But now as we look ahead to week two, we were pretty similar for the most part. The only differences that we had, I picked the Cowboys in this spot, and I also picked the Vikings. So Doug, he picked the Colts over the Vikings and the Falcons over the Cowboys. I am the opposite. So I won't have the chance to overcome it in week two, but we only have two different picks as of this point. Remember, BetRivers.com if you want to sign up, or with the BetRivers app or the BetRivers Weekly Pick'em Contest. Okay, let's go ahead and get some more baseball action for you guys because there's a big slate tonight. We have a lot to cover, so I want to get into some of these games really quick. How about the Dodgers and the Rockies tonight? This one getting off at 7:10 p.m. Central Time. The Dodgers laying $2 as the favorite. Colorado plus 170 on the buyback for this spot. It's at Coors Field. You know what that means, a double-digit total. This one is high as 13.5. The over minus 104, the under minus 114. You got Alex Wood, the lefty for the Dodgers, taking the bump. Only pitched about 8.1 innings so far this season. The Dodgers did beat the Rockies last night, 9-3. Ryan Castellani, he's opposing Wood. He's 1-2 this year with an ERA of 4.46 and a whip of 1.34. It's like we said, the total for this one is high as 13.5. The Dodgers laying $2. The Rockies at home, the big dog, plus 170. All right, and then let's move on briefly. Let's go to the D-backs and the Astros. The Diamondbacks, the big dog, yet again, plus 160. The Astros minus 186 here at Bet Rivers. This has actually been a big number that's fluctuated kind of across the country. I saw the Astros about minus 162 in some spots as well, and that was the way actually that I lean for this matchup. I don't really like to get higher than a minus -160, but I do think this is a pretty solid spot for the Astros. A lower total in this one, 7.5. The overs minus 112. The under minus 107. This one opened with the D-backs plus 150. Houston, like I said, at about minus -160. The total opened at 8, and we saw it tick down a half run. And why is that? Well, two stud pitchers on the mound. Zach Gallen taking the bump for the Diamondbacks. He's 1-2 this season with a 3.15 ERA, a nice whip of 1.10, and an xFIP, which we like to talk about a lot, of 3.92, just a better indicator of what's to be expected for a pitcher's ERA. Zach Greinke on the other side for the Astros. The righty is 3-2 this season with a 3.77 ERA and a whip of 1.06. He's got a nice xFIP as well of 3.82. Gallen is 0-2 with a 5.82 ERA in three starts this month, however. And Arizona has lost all three of those games. Greinke on the other side, his last over his career in 14 starts against Arizona, he's 7-3 with a 3.29 ERA. So I like the Astros in this spot. You're laying a big number, though, minus -186 currently at Bet Rivers if you still want to play it. Plus 160 on the other side for the Diamondbacks. You want to lay a run with the Astros, though, minus 134. Once again, that total dropping from 8 to 7.5. All right, when we return, we're going to Prop Shelf. Tonight's top props between the Nuggets and the Lakers, and a little bit more baseball talk here on Rush Hour. This is your last chance to subscribe to VSiN before our rates increase. Get the Pro Football Betting Guide with over 100 pages of NFL betting analysis and the College Football Betting Guide with insights on every team. Plus, you get the daily emails, including our experts' best bets on every sport, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, Point Spread Weekly, our digital magazine. Just sign up now because next week the prices will be higher. Just visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to lock in your subscription, which includes, like we said, our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network, broadcasting live at the Des Plaines Bet Rivers Sportsbook. I wanted to get in one more baseball game before we go to Prop Shelf. Let's talk about this Cubs and Twins game here at Wrigley Field. We see the Cubs minus 127 currently as the line's posted. The Twins catching plus 108. The total at 7, so a low total in this spot. The overs minus 110, the under minus 108. You're getting Kyle Hendricks, you're getting Rich Hill, the old veteran Rich Hill, the Southpaw's 2-1 this season with a 3.18 ERA and a whip of 1.35. But here's where the discrepancy lies. His xFIP is higher at 4.88. Kyle Hendricks, however, who's done pretty well at home, he's 5-4 this season with a 3.29 ERA and a whip of 1.05. He's got a solid xFIP of 3.77. Hendricks also in his past three starts has gone 2-0 with a 1.66 ERA, four earned runs in 21 and two-thirds inning. The Twins coming off the loss last night against the White Sox 4-3. And as you know, with the Cubs coming off the nice sweep against the Indians, once again, the Cubs getting some action. Minus 127, the Twins plus 108, and a shorter total of 7 runs. All right, let's switch gears here, folks, and let's go to the hardwood with the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers, the Nuggets, game one tonight. And let's go to Prop Shelf, where we take a look at tonight's top props between these players. And like we've done before, we're going to take a look at the head-to-head matchups, the players to score the most points. But first, just kind of want to tee up the line for everybody. The Lakers are laying 7. That's pretty much where the number's been at all week, or rather since the game's been teed up and we've had the opening line. Minus 305 on the money line for Los Angeles, plus 245 on the buyback for the Denver Nuggets. The total sits at 210, over minus 112, under minus 109. 37% of the bets, get this, here at the Des Plaines Bet Rivers location, 37% of the bets are on the Lakers spread. That's only accounting for 55% of the handle. So not that many bets are actually laying it with the Lakers, but a lot of the money is laying it with Los Angeles -7. In terms of the total, like we see at 210, 67% of the bets are on the over. That's only accounting for 60% of the handle. But really the big discrepancy here, just 37% of bets are on the Lakers laying 7. However, that's accounting for more than half of the handle. But let's get into Prop Shelf here. Head-to-head matchups. Player to score most points. Let's start with Anthony Davis versus Jamal Murray. Davis, the favorite here, minus 152 to score more points than Murray, who's plus 125. Davis, throughout the playoffs, he's averaging 27.6 points per game. He's shooting about 17 field goal attempts per game, and he's hitting 58.6% of them. Beyond the arc, 2.3 threes per game, hitting just under 40% of them. He's shooting 9.2 free throws per game. He's hitting about 3 out of 4, 75% from the line for Davis. So he's minus 152 to score more than Murray, who Murray's averaging 27 points per game throughout this postseason, taking about 20 field goal attempts per game and shooting just over 50%. He takes just under 8 threes per game and shooting 49% beyond the arc, only getting to the charity stripe about a little over 3 times per game, and he shoots 91.3% from the line. So Davis looks to have a big series here. He's going to have a big competitor, unlike really against the Rockets. You got Jokic on the other side. So will Davis be limited a little bit? Well, if you think that, you could potentially take the plus money with Jamal Murray, plus 125, but Davis the big favorite in that matchup, minus 152. All right, how about LeBron James versus Nikola Jokic? James, minus 177 to have more points than Jokic at plus 144. James is averaging 26.6 points per game throughout the playoffs. He's taking about 17 shots from the field per game, hitting right around 55% of them, shooting just over 6 threes per game, hitting only about 37% of them from beyond the arc. He takes just under 8 free throws per game. Poor free throw shooter has been the story of his career, 72.4% from the stripe. Jokic on the other side, plus 144 to outscore LeBron James tonight. He averages just over 25 points per game, takes about 19 field goal attempts per game. 51.5% is what he's shooting from the field. He puts up about 6 threes per game, and he shoots about 44% from beyond the arc, so pretty solid for the big man. He gets to the free throw line a little bit less than 4 times per game and hits 83% of them. So Nicholas, we know, is going to have a big game, or obviously a big series if the Nuggets want to stay into this. But he's got a lot of big men to go up against, being JaVale McGee, being Anthony Davis, just a lot of powerhouse opponents that Jokic is going to have to battle all throughout this series. Let's move on here with Kyle Kuzma and Jeremy Grant. Grant's minus 104, Kuzma minus 118 for head-to-head. Who's going to score more points? Kuzma's been averaging about 11 points per game throughout the postseason. He puts up about 9 shots from the field per game, shooting about 45% this postseason. Puts up about 3.5 threes per game, hits about 32% of them. He only gets to the free throw line about 2 times per game, shoots 76% from the line. And then going against Jeremy Grant, who's minus 104 against Kuzma to score more points, he averages 10 points per game throughout this postseason. He takes just over 8 shots a game, shooting 38%. 5 three-point attempts per game, shooting 33% from beyond the arc. Only gets to the free throw line about 2 times per game, shooting 90% from the line. That'll be a little bit more interesting to see who gets more action and who can be kind of that X factor between Grant and Kuzma. Kuzma's minus 118, and Grant is minus 104. All right, finally, the last head-to-head matchup. Who's going to score more points that we'll get into? MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., he's minus 110 against Rajon Rondo, minus 110 as well. Well, we've seen a good version of Rajon Rondo in the postseason. He's averaging just over 10.5 points per game throughout the playoffs. He's putting up about 8 shots per game, shooting 51.2% from the floor. He actually puts up more threes than you would think. Some of it comes in garbage time, and a lot of it comes because they leave him open. But he's shooting about 3.6 threes per game, hitting 44.4% of them. Doesn't really get to the free throw line whatsoever. On the other side, MPJ is averaging 11 points per game throughout this postseason, taking just under 9 shots per game and shooting 44% right around there from the field. Takes about 5 threes per game, shooting 37% from beyond the arc. He doesn't really get to the free throw line either, but maybe a good opportunity to look to the way of the former Mizzou player, Michael Porter Jr., with a pick-em with Rajon Rondo. Yes, Rondo's had his games where he's been putting up numbers and he gets left alone offensively. Like we've talked about, an X factor that's needed. MPJ, can he back up the talk like he did in the last series, saying they need to spread the ball more? If some of the big guys like Jokic and Murray are going to be locked down, look for MPJ for the opportunities tonight against Rajon Rondo, minus 110. Coming up next, we're talking NFC North with Mike Pritchard, betting across America host here on Rush Hour.